Let's hear about your 56-year-old.
So my 56-year-old is, again, a case that we've all seen. She presented with DCIS at age 26. And one of the things we have to remember is DCIS has only recently been recognized as a BRCA testing indication. For many years, people thought that BRCA didn't present with DCIS. I think that really was from a lot of the BRCA1 triple negatives that don't have a lot of DCIS. She then had, at age 32, an invasive cancer in the same breast, and at that point was treated with mastectomy. She wouldn't consider any hair loss, so was treated with old oral CMF PO and didn't have a lot of hair loss. Her tumor was ER positive, PR positive, grade 3 HER2 negative, about 3 centimeters in size.
Did she have an oncotype done?
She didn't have an oncotype done at that point. That was also a number of years ago. Remember, she's 56 now, and that was at age 32.
Wow. So this is a long time ago. Yeah.
This is a long time ago. She took tamoxifen for a couple of years, didn't tolerate it, and stopped it. She then had 16 years, which is also interesting because many of us think about BRCA cancers as being more aggressive and presenting earlier. But this woman had a presentation 16 years later. She presented with a solitary scalp lesion. And what's interesting is this is a woman with long, gorgeous hair. And she noticed that her brush sounded different, which was interesting. And she kept going to her doctor saying, there's something wrong with my scalp. And eventually they had a plain scalp x-ray that showed a big lytic area. And sure enough, she had a solitary scalp lesion. It was biopsied and was an ER-positive, PR-positive, HER2-negative breast cancer. She had letrozole for 4 years with a good response. This goes back to who can get prior letrozole alone. And then progressed in her bones and nodes. At that point, she had BRCA testing, and she fit because she'd been 32 with her presentation. She hadn't wanted to get tested before and was found to have a BRCA2 mutation. Had fulvestrant for a couple of years with good response and then progressed. And so this is really a patient who's gone through all the hormonal treatments. Then had exemestane everolimus, and she didn't respond well and didn't tolerate it well and had small liver mets. She then was put on capecitabine and had 18 months. And again, I think this is typical of many of our patients with sequential treatments that they respond to well. She did have gemcitabine cisplatin. And again, with BRCA mutations, we often see very, very good responses with this. She had a very, very good response, but had ototoxicity and really had bad tinnitus and couldn't respond. And then I got her olaparib, and she's been on olaparib now for 7 months, doing very well. Her liver metastases are hardly visible, tiny little things. Her nodal metastases are very stable, and her bones are stable, and she's doing well. Olaparib's not been widely available for breast cancer. I was lucky to get it for her. There are a number of studies that are starting up with olaparib, one called Lucy and one called Breakout, to make it more available. And there also are the other PARP inhibitors that I think are important. But I think that the Robson presentation and the publication is really going to stimulate our use of PARP inhibitors, and particularly olaparib initially, in BRCA patients.